And yet they were like a dog on a 6-foot chain that sees a cat walk in front of him at 7 feet. And goes running, comes to the end of the 6-foot chain, and that cat can just sit there and look at him and smile. And he can't do a thing. And I saw a lot of Christians that were going through the same thing. They had such a desire to follow the Lord, and they could go so far, and then couldn't seem to go any further. And I was asking myself, what's missing? What's wrong? What is happening here? As you may know, most Brazilians are involved in the occult through various forms of spiritism. And I've learned that really basically is a pact that is formed between that person and Satan. And that person accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and Satan acts like a jilted lover. He says, wait a minute, you made some promises to me, and I'm not going to let it go so easily. It's not a problem between the person and God, it's a problem between the person and our enemy. And he comes back and he begins to want to claim his rights. He comes back and wants to make good on the promises that were made. And he brings demonic oppression. He brings many things into the lives of the people to the point that they aren't able to grow. And we begin to take our people through a renunciation process. It's nothing weird. It's nothing off of the wall. I believe it's biblical. Where that person in the authority that they have in Jesus Christ says, Father, I sinned against you. When I made that animal sacrifice, which is very common there, in order to bring health to my child, forgive me of that sin. And I recognize that I made a pact with the devil. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who bought me with His blood, I renounce that pact. And by the authority that I have in Jesus Christ, I break the bonds that were made between Him and me through that act. And I declare myself free in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I give my life over to You now, Lord, and come and fill me with Your Holy Spirit and take over that area that I gave to Satan. Wow! I couldn't believe the change in people's lives when they began to pray through things such as this and see them begin to grow in their spiritual lives. We don't baptize anybody in our churches in Brazil unless they go through this kind of prayer and evaluation of their lives. But before you think that this is irrelevant for you, if you go into the letters of Paul, you realize that he talks about the consequences of an unforgiving spirit. He says that if we do not forgive, if we hold on to resentment in our lives, we give a place to the devil in our lives. And the word place there means physical space. We give room to the devil to work in our lives. If you have believed in false doctrine, he says, you have fallen into the trap of the enemy. If you go through his letters, you find over and over again that many of the sinful attitudes and many of the sinful practices that have nothing to do with the devil and the occult bring the same thing into our lives. And we wonder why we can't grow. We wonder why we can't go forward. Why are we like that dog on a 6-foot chain? Have you renounced it? Have you broken it? Or is Satan coming back like the jilted lover and saying, not so fast, guy. Not so easy. I'm not letting go. And I'm going to make your life a place of suffering. There are many Christians that are suffering from oppression in their lives because they have never gone through a process like this in their lives. In order to deal successfully with your sin, you must renounce and break the ties created with Satan in your life by that sin. Quickly, we find another principle that he has given us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. where he says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Martin Luther, the great reformer, said something very interesting. He said, "You know, you can't keep the birds from flying over the top of your head, but you can keep them from making nests in your hair." Pretty practical advice. You can't keep the birds from flying over the top of your head, but you can keep them from making nests in your hair. And we realize many times our problem is that we have had these practices, we've had these habits, we've had these difficulties in our lives, and we are not involved in a process of renewing our minds. The battle is for the mind. And if you are to deal successfully with sin in your life, you must replace the sinful patterns with spiritual patterns. In January of this year, a young couple came into our church in Porto Alegre, found out that he was a backslidden Christian. She was not a Christian, had no Christian background whatsoever, had been raised in a Spiritist family. They came back the second Sunday, called and asked if they could talk to me before the service, and so we met, and I had the privilege of leading her to the Lord before the service. But what I could not believe was the way this girl began to grow by leaps and bounds in her Christian life. In just a short period of time, she was praying and talking like someone that had been in the faith for years and years and years. And I sat down and asked them, "What are you guys doing?" Well, they happened both to be unemployed at that time. So instead of sleeping until 10 o'clock in the morning, they still got up at 6 o'clock to read their Bibles and pray together. The radio station was on Christian music all day long. They had their own prayer times of 3 and 4 hours. One night they called up, we're going to be having vigilia. All-night prayer time. So we're going to have an all-night prayer time. And Pastor, do you have any requests that we can pray for? Then I found out that in the first 3 months of their Christian lives, she had read 4 Christian books. I said, no wonder she's growing. She's in the process of renewing her mind. She's replacing the old patterns. Instead of doing the old things that they were doing, they're replacing it with the correct patterns in their lives. If we are to deal successfully with sin, we must replace old beliefs with Christian thoughts and old patterns with scriptural principles. I work a lot with music in Brazil, and something that happened to me brought home the importance of saturating our minds with the things of the Lord. We don't have a lot of written music in Brazil. And quite often what happens, one of our worship leaders calls me up and said, "Pastor, I want to sing such and such a song Sunday night. Can you chord it for me?" Well, that means that I have to sit down with a little boom box with a CD and a keyboard, and I listen, I find the chord, and I listen, and I find the chord, and I go back and listen again, and I find the chord. Well, I was working on this song. I must have listened to that song at least 10 times during the day that I was courting the music. I went to bed, I went to sleep. About 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. Guess what was going through my mind? That song. From beginning to end, all the words were there. I was talking to Glenn before. He says, "You know, sometimes it's hard. You know, I work basically with non-Christians, and there's all that stuff. You know, the slander and the criticism and the negative attitudes and the whole thing. And how it's so important to get away with that and have Christian friends and fill my mind with the things of God." That is what is renewing the mind. We need to have an evaluation. How much time do we spend in the Word of God? How much Christian music is being played in your home? How much praise are you hearing? How much worship are you hearing every day? I can guarantee if you saturate your mind with it, things will change. One more principle that we find in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you might also be tempted. carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Here's a difficult one. Share your burden. So often, we've got issues in our lives, and we've never told anybody. And we try to beat it ourselves. We cry in our bedrooms or wherever. But we're ashamed or we're embarrassed to tell somebody, hey, I've got a problem. But the Bible is very clear that we need to confess our sins one to another so that we may be healed. The Bible is very clear about the importance of having someone that can come alongside, that can help carry our burden. It's very interesting in Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 to 20. We quite often use these verses because it says, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Fantastic. Those are great verses for spiritual freedom, great verses for breaking the holds. But let's not take it out of context. Let's see what the rest of the passage says. And Jesus continues, again I tell you, that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by the Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with you. I like the way Eugene Peterson said it in the Message. When two of you get together on anything on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. Wow. Two of you get together and you make a prayer of it, my Father goes into action. When we returned to the United States in 1993, I believe it was, Paul was a senior in high school. Several times during that year, something like this would happen. Diane and I would go to bed. And about 11:30 at night, that's when Paul really begins to function. Some things don't change. About 11:30 at night, there would be on our bedroom door, Dad, can I talk to you? And I would get up and go out in the living room. And during those times, Paul opened up and talked about his struggles, talked about some sin issues, talked about doubts. And we would work through it together. And he'd ask my opinion, and I would give, you know, some counsel. And we prayed together. I think Paul would agree that those were moments of victory in his life. And I wouldn't give that up for the world to have a son that would come to me and say, can I talk to you about sin issues? And that's what the Lord wants us to do. And sometimes we have altar calls. And people think, well, I would never go up front. Everybody will think that I'm a sinner. So what? We are. Let's deal with it. Let's get it out in the open. Find someone that you can talk with. Someone that you can share your burden with. Someone that can pray for you. Somebody that can help you work through a solution. I've had the privilege to have a friend like that in Brazil. He's a doctor. Not even another pastor. A member of my church. And I have to admit, when the Lord began to put it on my heart that that was the person that He wanted in my life, I thought, Lord, he's a church member. If I tell him something he starts blabbing about, I'm done. And yet we built a relationship where there were things that nobody else on earth knew except him. We tried to go out to lunch together once a week at noontime. And it's a riot. I mean, we have our prayer time in the restaurant. I mean, here's all the other people around here. We are at our table praying together. Just several weeks before I came back, we were sitting at the lunch table, and he said, Pastor, I'm dealing with this sin issue in my life. He said, it caught me completely by surprise. Just exactly like Paul said in the beginning, it caught me by surprise. He said, will you pray for me? We talked about it. We prayed together. About 2 weeks went by before we were able to have lunch together. Wasn't it great when he came back and said, Pastor, I just want to let you know, I had victory. I had victory. We need people with whom we can share our burdens. People that can pray with us and for us and help us find a solution. Maybe you need to start today. I'd like to conclude this morning by drawing your attention to something that I believe is a very strong motivation for why we shouldn't walk out of here this morning and say, well, that's nice. Let's imagine that you come Sunday morning and Pastor Dick gets up and he says, well, this morning we're not going to have any singing and we're not even going to have a message. We're going to show a movie. They start the tape over there. Comes up on the screen, an R-rated movie. I mean, with all the expletives, all the F-words, all the violence, all the scenes, it's all there. And he's showing this in this church building. What would you do? I would say the large majority, if not all, would get up and walk out. And on the way out the door would say, how could he ever do that? This is the house of God. This is the house of the Lord. You don't do those kind of things here. I'd like to draw your attention to something. God changed addresses a little less than 2,000 years ago. Yes, he used to live in a temple, in the Holy of Holies. Yes, he did live in the building. At least that's where his presence was represented. When Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples before returning to heaven, he says, no longer will we just be living with you. We'll be living in you. The Lord changed his address. You are the house of the Lord in which he chose to live. Then how in the world can we let certain things continue in our lives? How do we let it go on and think that we can live the Christian life the way we do? The Lord is no longer living in this building made with hands. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the living God. Make your life a place that is fit for his dwelling. Father, we thank you for your word. It's hard sometimes to come and admit that we are sinners. We put it in the past tense. Lord, we are. If the Apostle Paul said that he was the worst of sinners, where does that leave us? Father, speak to us through your Holy Spirit this morning. Help us to take the steps to deal successfully with sin in our lives, so that our lives, in which you chose to live, will be a place fit and suitable for your dwelling. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. As we close this morning, I want you to just close your eyes, bow your heads for a moment. Silence. Is there something in your life that needs to be cared for? Is there a hidden thing of darkness that you've enjoyed and it needs to be destroyed? Something between you and your Savior that's disturbing your peace and your relationship with God.